Praise God, praise God. What a great, great day to be here this morning. Everybody smiling, looking good, I'm telling you. Praise God. Well, I am excited about this word that I believe, I know that God has dropped in my spirit for every single one of us. So if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis. Chapter 26. Many of y'all probably know this story. I was just so thrilled when God dropped this in my spirit. It has been a long time since I really even looked at these scriptures and really begin to study them out, and even the latter part of it that when we come to is really going to bless you, because I know it just jumped off the pages to me. But today I want us just to really deal with, you ever found yourself dealing with obstacles that constantly seem like they're coming up in your way from attaining what God is wanting to bless you with? Or maybe you know a destiny. Say destiny. God has a destiny for every single one of us, church. But it's obstacles that every one of us go through in order to get there. And along that pathway, many times discouragement, things can pop up in the journey to God's destiny that He has for every single one of us. And we're going to be looking at some things here that I believe are really going to speak volume to every single one of us that are really hungry and really wanting God to move us and move us and compel us and even show us things that we need to see in order to move into where that destiny that God has for us. Can you say amen? Amen. Chapter 26, have you made it there yet? Say amen. Amen. We're going to pick up the story. Like I say, if you're familiar with it, it won't be hard for you to understand where we're going, but we're picking up the story where Isaac, the son of Abraham, a huge famine had hit the land just like it did during the days of his father Abraham did. If you remember the story, Abraham, when the famine hit, he shot down into Egypt, didn't he? Trying to find security, trying to find some comfort, trying to find maybe even blessings in his life during that hard time that hit his life. And we all know that Egypt was not God's plan for Abraham. He did that through fear. He did that through unbelief. And also here is his son Isaac, who is following in his dad's footsteps, doing the very same thing. I can even think that maybe Abraham even went over some of the stories that he did during his lifetime, and we see Isaac here now doing the very same thing that his father did when that huge famine hit during his days. But we pick up in the story that when he got down there and he's pulled off the same shenanigan that his father pulled off, meaning he's telling everyone around them that his wife is really his sister, so no harm comes to his life. Down in the town of Gerar, which is a Philistine city, very ungodly city, here he is, he's down there trying to find security, trying to find safety during this famine. But Abimelech, the king of the city of Gerar, the Philistine king, got word of, he actually noticed Isaac treating his so-called sister in a way that you wouldn't be treating your sister, if you know what I mean. And it awakened him, and he got realization that this woman, Rebekah, is not his sister, but it's his wife. Well, King Abimelech, not wanting any harm to come to either him or even the people around him, and he began to just tell Isaac, look, you got to go. You got to pack up, boy, and you got to get out of town. So what we're picking up is where Isaac now is leaving the little town of Gerar, the Philistine city, and getting ready to head out of town and trying to follow the leading of God. And that's what we're going to see here, how things begin to come up, how things begin to happen in his life. And all these things collectively are a way to show Isaac and his family that he has a destiny to get them to. So let's begin reading verse 16 through 25, and then we'll pick up verse 32 and 33 of the 26th chapter of Genesis. Let's begin reading here. Verse 16. And Abimelech said to Isaac, go away from us, for you are much mightier than we. Then Isaac departed from there, and he pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar, and he dwelt there. And Isaac dug again the wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham, his father, for the Philistines had stopped them up after the names of which his father had called them. Also, Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found a well of water running there. But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, "The water is ours." So he called the name of the well Esek because they quarreled with him. Then they dug another well, and they quarreled over that one also. So he called its name Sitna. And he moved from there, and he dug another well. And they did not quarrel over it, so he called its name Rehoboth. Because he said, "For now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." Then he went up from there to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared to him in the same night and said, "I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. And I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake." So he built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord. And he pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants dug a well. Verse 32. It came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him about the well which they had dug. And said to him, "We have found water." So he called it Sheba. Therefore, the name of the city is Beersheba to this day. This morning, I want to speak to us on the subject of dig another well. Just dig another well. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of your son, Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, a day set aside that, God, we can just, Lord, meet with you. Father, we can worship together. Lord, we welcome the precious Holy Spirit here, God, to teach us and to speak to us this morning. Lord, help us to hear what you're wanting to say to the church this morning. And Lord, we'll hide behind the cross of Christ this morning. Without him, Lord, we are absolutely nothing. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this message, what you're getting ready to tell us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we don't understand the seriousness of having well water, do we? To us, we can just run to the store and buy some water. I don't ever drink Cross Lake water. I don't know about you, but I don't drink it. I drink bottled water all the time because it just tastes better, and I just like bottled water. And I don't like Bossier's water either. I don't like much of the water anywhere around here. So I drink bottled water, especially that Arkansas spring water. And some of y'all know me, know why. It's just crystal, it's clean, it's better, it tastes good. But well means for a person in that day, it means sustainability. It meant that now we can put down roots here. We can have life for not only our family, not only our people, but also for our animals. Everything around us, now we can have sustainability. We can have life. Water, a well meant blessings for those who could find a well. They just weren't everywhere. You had to dig one. You had to find it. And when you found it, man, you felt like your whole life has been turned around because now you have found water. And looking at this story and reading this story, and when you walk through the story, I don't know about you, but I begin to feel sorry a little bit for Isaac and his family. If you notice, the first wells they dug once Abimelech told them to leave was he went out into the valley of Gerar. He just went right outside of the city where Abimelech told him to leave from. And understand this, that Gerar represented everything ungodly. It represented those uncircumcised Philistines. It represented all those that did not have a covenant with God. But here we see Isaac and his family move just outside the city in the valley and start digging wells there. But immediately after he got the wells dug, we notice that opposition began to come. You notice that opposition began to happen in their life. Every time they would dig a well, the enemy would come and take over the well they just dug. Can you in your heart feel just for a moment what this bunch is feeling like? All we have to do is go home and open up the door and grab us a bottle of water. These folks meant a well, meant everything to them. And I can just see it. I can almost feel it in my soul. Here are these precious people. They go and they dig this well just to have the enemy come in and clog up their well. They come in and they take over what they have. They spent hard work and they've given their time. They've given their effort. They've given their life trying to dig this well, and they finally get it. And then the enemy comes and clogs up their well. So you know what they did? They dug another well. How many of y'all ever notice that when you begin to move forward, the enemy takes notice of what you're trying to do in your life? He isn't going to allow you to move forward with God without bringing opposition in your life and in my life. He's going to do everything he can to oppose, because you see, God has a destiny. He's got a destiny for his family. And it's not in the valley of Gerar. What breaks my heart is this: just like he dug the first well and then he went and he dug another well in the same valley. Same valley, trying to make this thing work. I see so many people trying their very best to establish and to settle and put down roots where God has never, ever, ever meant for them to be. Trying to go from this bad marriage to that bad marriage. I'm marrying this old ungodly man. I'm marrying this ungodly woman. And I'm wondering why God isn't blessing my life. It's simply because you dug a well where God has never intended for you to have that well. Are we listening? There's so many times, and we try, and we're thinking we're trying to go forward. And every time we dig a well, the enemy is just waiting for you to get it all settled, get the water coming out, and then he comes in and opposes and takes what he wants. I mean, he already got started. When he first got started, he went out there to ready to dig a well where his father had dug. Unclogged those wells, and the enemy came in immediately and clogged up those. Is anybody listening this morning? How many of you can bear witness what I'm talking about? How you tried to get blessings where God never intended for you to have blessings in the first place. I'm trying to make this marriage work. I don't understand why my husband won't get along with God. Maybe because he's not even saved. I don't understand what that woman of mine, she told me, you know, if we'd get married, everything would be better. And how's that working out for you? Or people that are dating individuals. Well, I know they don't believe in God, but when I marry, I'm going to change them. How's that going for you? You see? Well, I know I'm not supposed to be living here, but you know what? I believe that wherever I'm at, God's going to bless me. That's not true. God has a plan. And God has a destiny. And what he wants us to do is not to get settled down in that enemy's camp, but to dig another well and go forward. And that's what he does here. Well, I'm loving this, y'all. I don't know about y'all, but I'm loving it. Now, this is one of the biggest hurdles for most of us. Now, think with me for a minute. You're living in that day. You done spent time, energy, and everything else to dig this first well. And opposition came, and it stopped you. And then you moved from there, and you went and you dug another well. And the enemy has stopped you again. I'm going to tell you what happens a lot of times. This is a great place for discouragement to set in. This is a great time for the enemy to begin to whisper, why don't you just quit? Oh yeah, I know God's got a destiny for you, but maybe it's not for you. Maybe you've messed up too many times this time. Why don't you just quit? How many of y'all heard the enemy tell you to just quit? Why don't you just throw in the towel and just quit? That's exactly what he wants to do. God has spoken to so many of us about promises. He's given us so many kind of dreams, so many different things that God has laid on our heart. And because we tried and the enemy opposed and the enemy took it and he stole it, and we just quit. We just quit. How many of y'all feel like you've quit sometimes? I can't tell you how many times in 26 years in ministry I launched out in things thinking, Lord, this is where your hand is upon my life now. This is the direction you're going, just to find out it was a dead end. And how many times I hear the enemy, why don't you just give up? Why don't you just quit? And that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants us to throw in the towel. That little group, Common Ground, y'all raise your hand there, Common Ground. 1, 2, 3, 4, about 4 or 5 of them here. That little group was over there, that little mission center, then went from a good, strong congregation down to about 8 of them. Let me tell you something. Satan will use people as a puppet to speak to you and to discourage you about what God's trying to do in your life. They were hearing it from all sides. Why don't you just disband? Why don't you just pack up your little bit of stuff and get out of here? They said, no, we're not going to stop. We're going to keep praying. We're going to keep believing. We're going to keep going forward. You know what we're going to do? We're going to dig another well. Hallelujah. We're going to dig another well. What we're going to do? We're going to get our shovel and go dig another well. And that's what God's calling us to do. Don't get caught up in all the lies. Don't get caught up in the discouragement. But you just go to your garage and you get yourself a shovel and you dig yourself another well. And that's what they did. I love what the Bible says. It says they didn't just stay there in the valley of Gerar, but they moved. They moved. Sometimes you got to move. Sometimes you finally got to realize, you know what, it's not working here in this valley. And we've got to just pack up and move. Maybe this is not where God warned us. Because how many times can you run into dead ends and finally you realize that this ain't happening? I met a guy one time. He married 5 women. And one of them, his wife, he married her twice. Still not happy. Hello? 5 times. And married one woman twice. Still not happy. Wonder why. Been digging in the valley of Gerar too long. You see. So the Bible says he moved from there. He moved from there. Look what it says here. Verse 22. And he moved from there. And what did he do? He just laid there and cried. He just laid there and whined. See, a lot of times we want to move somewhere else, but we don't move and do what God's called us to do. We want to move there and whine and complain and gripe. And find other people around us. That's why bars get full of people. Because they can gather together around them some people. Oh, they move, but they didn't move where God called them to move. They moved into the place that God didn't want them to go. And then they gathered people around them. And you know what they did? They complained. And they griped. And they bellied. Isn't it amazing how misery does love what? Misery loves company. We can just have us a griping party. Just a complaining party. But he moved from there and he said, you know what we're going to do, boys? We're going to believe God one more time and we're going to dig another well. We're going to dig another well. And that's what they did. In verse 22 it says, and he moved from there and he dug another well and they did not quarrel over it. It says in the latter part of that verse, and they became fruitful in the land. For God had made room for us. Whew, man. God began to make room for them. Isn't this amazing? But they never could have got to Rehoboth if they quit digging. If they quit going forward. If they quit believing. They had to dig their way out. Folks, sometimes you got to do the impossible. Sometimes you got to reach, as my dad says, you just got to reach and get it. You can't get all caught up and feeling like, well, I'm never going to get there where God wants me to be. I'm never going to arrive where God wants me. What you and I need to do is believe God. He's got a place for you, but it's time for you to get up and dig another well. You got to move. It's like this gym that we belong to. There's got to be some movement. You know, we could get our gym membership, and Pam can get her cute little outfit. You know, looking all good, got her little tennis shoes. I just grab the first thing I get. You know, I go in there, you know, and we get in there, and they get this nice little bench, and we could just. Boy, I love this gym, Brother Johnny. I meet some of my friends here, and we drink our iced coffee full of calories and just drinking. And one guy, a friend of mine, man, up in Tennessee or Arkansas, he said that, you know what, to keep membership, he would offer the people, he had a big old table at the exit table full of ice cream and cake. Just wanted to show his appreciation to all his new members. Man, he had job security, didn't he? They were losing, they were gaining on the way out the door, you know. But you got to move. You can be a member of a gym, but you're never going to get any weight off of it. You're never going to get toned up unless you move. And that's what he's doing here. He's moving. His whole bunch is moving. And they dug another well, and they named it Rehoboth. Now, let me tell you about Rehoboth, though. Rehoboth can be a blessing. It can also be a curse. Let me tell you why. Because Rehoboth is the place where you finally, watch this, you finally come into the blessings of God. You begin to become fruitful. All of a sudden, things in your life are starting to line up. Things are happening in your life. And you know, Jackie, they're of God. Because he's the only one that could have done these things. And God is beginning to bless your life. And you see things happening in your life. But here's the kicker right here. Rehoboth is not your destiny. And I see it happening all the time. People get real comfortable in Rehoboth because they're being blessed. But God has one more well to dig. Hey! Just one more well to dig. But we got to get you away. It's like we said the other day, politicians, man, they ever get to the White House or ever get to Baton Rouge, man, they're like hogs in the trough. You can't ever get them out of there. They get addicted to that, don't they? You don't ever hear one about campaigning to leave, do you? No, it's I want to be reelected now for this other office and for this other position and this other place. So it is so many times in our life, church. We go from the valley of Gerar, where God's not touching a life. God's blessings aren't there. He has another destiny for us. And we finally move into a place called Rehoboth. And we see God touching our life. We see God opening up things. We see God that only he could do. But then the Holy Spirit says, son, it's time to move one more time. And we say, I really do like Rehoboth, though. I really am enjoying Rehoboth. Because you know why? I'm comfortable here. I am happy here. We were just talking about changes. How many times? We don't like changes. I know as I'm 52 years old, hush. I'm starting to see myself get stuck in my own little ways. When I open up the refrigerator, honey, where's the tea? Why isn't the tea right here? It's amazing how we get so stuck in our little ways because we get real comfortable in Rehoboth. You know, my old truck, man, I can't imagine having another truck. Me and my old Toyota, that's my truck. Alice is the only one I've almost let drive, and I criticize everything he does in my truck. We get stuck in our ways. We get stuck in Rehoboth. But God has Beersheba. He has one more well he wants us to go dig. But the question is, though, are we willing to leave Rehoboth and go to Beersheba. Let's read it again, what happened to Beersheba. Verse 23, then he went up from there to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, I am the God of your father, Abraham. Do not fear. See, a lot of times we get kind of fearful about movement, don't we? Sometimes we get kind of fearful about change in our life. Well, it isn't the way old granddaddy Abraham did it. It ain't the way, you know, my mother did it. It's not the way they did it. You know, Lay and I, we working for the association, we see a lot of churches, they're still living on the 50s. They're still living in the way it was in the past. And folks, the thing about it is, though, things are changing. The Holy Spirit's the same Holy Spirit. But the message doesn't change, but the method sometimes does have to change. We're not living in the same. I'm 52 and things have changed ever since I was in high school. I'm amazed how much change has taken place. We don't change the method, but sometimes we have to change the method. Because the key is to have the living water begin to flow just like it's been flowing into our lives, just like it flowed in the patriarch's life. We want the same Holy Spirit flowing into the next generation, don't we? Hallelujah. That was a great place to shout right there. He moves to Beersheba, and the Lord says, do not be afraid. Why? Because I'm with you. And then he says, I will bless you and multiply your descendants. You see, Rehoboth is wonderful, but multiplication, the blessings that we can't even fathom and we can't even imagine, they're not at Rehoboth, but they're at Beersheba. He said, here's the place. Here is the place. And you have to understand, Beersheba was a city at the southern border of the promised land. And that's where God wanted. That's where Abraham was. And now that's where Isaac was. This is the land that I'm going to multiply you to, the place where when you look at the stars, your descendants will be. When you look at the sand, your descendants will be. Not in Gerar, not in Rehoboth, but they will be in Beersheba. And what'd they do there? They dug another well. They put down roots right there in Beersheba. And this is what I really love, what the word says. He did not build an altar in Gerar, and he did not build an altar in Rehoboth, but he built an altar in Beersheba. Because you see, the altar speaks of sacrifice. In order to get to where God's amazing, bountiful blessings are in your life, there's always going to be, listen, sacrifice. Are we willing to allow this to be put off so that this can rule and reign? That's why Jesus said, you want to be my disciple? You really want to be my disciple? Pick up that cross and you follow me. Now pick up the church membership. Don't pick up tradition. Don't pick up Southern Baptist Association. You pick up that cross and you be willing to give it all up. For in order for something to come alive, it's got to die. Resurrection power comes through death. Isn't that great, y'all? Amen. And that's what God's calling us, you and I, every one of us to. He doesn't want you to get content. And I believe there's a lot of people in this church right now, you're very content with Rehoboth. Because Rehoboth, man, it's good. There's blessings. I'm okay. There's nothing really challenging in my life. It hasn't been for decades. I'm going to get up tomorrow morning, I'm going to go do the same thing I'm doing. I'm going to go to work, I'm going to make a living, I'm going to come home, I'm going to get in my chair, I'm going to get my nap, and I'm going to eat dinner, I'm going to go to bed. And if you ask me if I love Jesus, sure I love Jesus. When was the last time that you led somebody to Jesus? When was the last time somebody saw you and they go, man, your life is blessed because I see Jesus in you. And because of who you are, your life is just multiplying people around you. See, let me tell you something, church. I'm getting ready to close. So often, one of the biggest problems we have, especially here in the South, we've learned how to do church. It's like when I go to the gym, because I know all the machines, I know all the weights, I've been doing this for a long time, and I know you can tell because my body's so ripped. But you can go to the gym, and you can wear the gym clothes. Look like, you know, what was the little guy that used to do all that exercise stuff? What was his little name? Richard Simmons. Yay! You can dress up as Richard Simmons, and you can go in there, and you can go through the motion. You can go through the motions and won't even break a sweat. But if you really, really, really know you got to get in shape, like my mother keeps telling me I do, then you got to sweat. You got to hurt a little bit. Somebody coined the phrase, no pain and no gain. So it is in our life and as a Christian. We get so used to just going through the motion. I do what I do. I come to church on Wednesday, hear a little Bible study, pray a little bit, come on Sundays, hear a little preaching, go home, I'm good to go. But what's happening around us is the evidence that, man, that God is multiplying. God is flowing through my life constantly. See, every one of us should not be content with Rehoboth Church, but we should be striving for Beersheba. Would you stand with me, please? Would you just shut yourselves away this morning? Just close your eyes and just shut yourselves away for just a minute. This is the most important, I would say this is the most important time of your whole week right now. Because the Holy Spirit is speaking to people and He has through this message. Have I got comfortable in Rehoboth? Or am I stepping up and taking on the challenge that the Holy Spirit is challenging me with? To go redig another well. Because God has a destiny for every single one of us, church. Listen, a destiny is not a good retirement. A destiny is not just a big, nice home and a bunch of stuff. That's not the destiny God's got for us. It's sad to be at a funeral and the only thing you hear is about all the stuff that a person has, or how wonderful a dad, or how wonderful a father, how wonderful a mother they were, and never hear about Jesus anywhere in the message. Because the message we want to hear is, well done, thy good and faithful servant. What have you done for my kingdom's sake? What are people seeing when they look at you and when they're around you? What do they hear? What do they sense? It's not in the Valley of Gerar. It's not in Rehoboth. But it's in Beersheba where we begin to multiply our life. My biggest dream for life, and the reason it has been for 26 years, the reason why I've continuously dug wells constantly all my life, it's not for a big paycheck. It's not for retirement. It's so that I can see people come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's it. That's what I live for, is to see people come to Christ. That's it. What is your focus this morning, church? What are you living for? Because as Brother EJ says, we're all celebrating birthdays. And we're all getting older. One day that's going to come to an end. And the only thing we can live, the only thing we can leave is a legacy. And what will that legacy speak about you and me? What will they say about you and me? Were we difference makers? Or are we just people who took up space? Oh, Holy Spirit, speak to us this morning, O Lord. Lord, help us to be honest. Lord, help us to do an inventory with ourselves, oh God. Father, you want blessings for every one of us, oh Lord. Oh, Father, you have a wonderful well, God, you want to let us drink out of, God. Lord, a place we can settle in. Lord, we can settle into a life, oh God, where our life is totally consumed with you, Jesus. Our conversation is about you. Our thoughts are about you. Our dreams are about living for you. And what great plans that you have for each one of us. This morning, I want to ask you a question. You don't have to get out of your seat or nothing. I want to ask you, is the Holy Spirit speaking to you and you're saying, John, I need to realign my goals in my life. Would you just raise your hand? And I want to pray for you right where you're at. You say, John, the Holy Spirit's speaking to me. I need to realign my goals for my life. Yes, I need to realign my goals. He's not first place in my life. And I have got comfortable. I've got comfortable in Rehoboth. If the Holy Spirit's speaking to that to you, just raise your hand. I want to pray for you right where you're standing. Yes, 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 yes. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus. I'm going to tell you something, church. You're raising your hand, and what you're saying, Lord, I accept the sacrifice it's going to take to get out of this state, this place that I'm in, and be willing to reach forth and dig another well. I'm willing to move from this place of being comfortable, being stagnant. And Lord, I'm willing to pick up the cross and move. Father, we pray for right now in the name of your Son, Jesus. Father, you see the hands have gone up all over this sanctuary this morning. And Holy Spirit, we embrace this conviction, oh God, that you're speaking to us with. And Lord, we admit, Lord, that we're not where you want us to be. We're not living where you want us at, oh God. Lord, we admit that we have gotten comfortable, very comfortable, Lord, where we're at. And God, you're wanting more of our life. You're not the one that forces us, oh Father. Lord, you're the one that nudges us. You're the one that leads us. You're the one that speaks to us, God. But we're the one that we must embrace what you're leading us to. And what you're calling us to, Lord, because you're calling us higher, to a higher place than you, Father. Yes, it may be difficult. Yes, it may be fearful. But Father, we thank you as you told Isaac, you don't have to fear because I am with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I will take you by the hand and I'll walk with you through this journey to a place that you haven't even imagined yet. Your life is such a blessing. You're such a fresh drink of water to people around you. You are refreshing to be around. I want to ask you one more thing. Today could be the start of a new day for you. You say, John, I never have accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Today is that day. Don't wait till tomorrow, but today is that day. Would you just lift your hands and say, John, that's me. The Holy Spirit is speaking to me. I'm not right with Christ. I am not right with Christ. I'm living for myself and I'm not living for Christ. Would you just lift your hand? We want to pray for you. Amen. 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 If you raised your hand this morning, I want to ask you just to step out, come up here and meet me. I want to pray with you. And we're going to pray the sinner's prayer that God will touch you. He'll write down the name, your name in the Lamb's Book of Life today. Today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Today is that day. Don't let it slip by you. Don't let this day go. Today is that day.